Today, I want to talk about your guidance system, your inner guidance system, and how to connect and tune into it, and your inner critic, that voice that is inside your head telling you all that you're not doing right. And we'll go deep into that, and we'll go deep into how much of that has been influenced by how you've been brought up, and which guidance, which voice are we following most of the time during the day without bringing awareness to it. So let's dive in. You'll hear me a lot referring to your inner guidance, your intuition, that inner knowing or gut feeling. It can have many names. You can call it in many different ways. It always goes down to the same thing. And how can you recognize that? That's the thing that we're gonna go into today. How is that different from your inner critic? How do you know that it is your guidance system speaking and not some old pattern or fears that are actually guiding you in making maybe a decision or doing something important about your life or in communication with others or reacting to situations? Which is it that is actually making, that is directing you in the moment? Okay? And it can be tricky. It can be tricky, especially when you have been trained from childhood to disconnect from your inner guidance system so that you would follow the one of others. Actually, you wouldn't even follow the inner guidance system of others. You would follow the patterns and the fears and the programming of other people. And one definitely important one would be your mother's, first and foremost. And then from there, because you're trained in such a way, you keep following other people, your teachers, any other figure of importance and of power, and we just follow because we've been disconnected completely from the compass that is within. Okay, so let me ask you something really simple. Do you eat when you're hungry, or when it is time to eat, or when you're given the time, the allotted time for eating? And do you sleep when you're tired, or do you just get another coffee maybe and keep going? And this is not to judge the way you live. I do plenty of eating when it's time to eat rather than when I'm hungry. And sometimes I have to push through even when I'm tired. So, but it's, are you aware of that, that is happening? Because this is to give you a very simple example of disconnection from our internal guidance system. And it's one that we don't even think about anymore. I have a very, like a very funny, for me personally, quite a funny story. When I was going out with my partner at the very, very beginning, I'm coming from Italy, he's coming from Ireland. We have very different eating patterns, like the time where Italians eat and the Irish people eat is very different. And I, that was causing a lot of a lot of confusion at the beginning. But it's like I was so fixated with, I have to eat at one, like that's my lunchtime. And it doesn't matter if I've just had breakfast really late or really early, or it doesn't, like, it makes no difference. One is when I'm eating and that's it. And I was just so fixated with that. And it's interesting because sometimes you're not actually hungry. If you're following your system, you are not. And I used to criticize him for his sort of eating whenever he was hungry. So we get caught in this pattern. Now, this is a really simple one, ultimately. And like, you can eat whenever you want. But the point I'm making is, when you start tuning in to your own system, and your system is complex in the sense that it has so many different aspects to it. There's your physical body, cells, system, there's your emotional system, there's your mind, your brain, your heart, there is your energy system. There's so much, and it all is interconnected, so that they're not like separate parts. It's all interwoven together. And when you practice working with it and tuning into it, you might notice with time that you do things radically different from what you were doing before, because you're following your own inner compass, and no one can tell you what that is. Like, no one can tell you what's right for you. No one can tell you what decision is the best decision for you. No one can tell you what to do and how to do it. And from there, no one can tell you you're doing it wrong either. Like, no one can tell you that you are faulty. No one can tell you you're a bad person for what you're doing, for your actions, for your, for the way you want to go about life, the way you choose. When it's heart center, when you're coming from their inner guidance, it's going to be based on love, actually. It's going to be based on connection. It's going to be, there's not going to be fear involved. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to be feeling fear at times, but you're not going to follow that to make your decisions. That is not going to control you. What you're going to follow, it's a whole different thing. And it's positive, it's beautiful, it's rewarding. It's rewarding, and it's so, so worth it. And it's energizing too. Instead of exhausting, it's energizing. So let's go a little bit more into that. When you were a small child, you followed your inner guidance naturally. And things were pretty simple. Okay, a baby wants food, wants sleep, wants more food. And it follows its own inner guidance system for that. I don't know. If you've had babies, you know it. I've had two, and I know, like, they don't go, oh, it's 1 o'clock, it's time to eat, mom. They just cry when they're hungry. They cry when they want to sleep, or they go fall asleep if they want to sleep, no matter where they are. So they follow their guidance system. And the rest of the guidance comes from your parents, which they are your entire support system, and more so from your mother, because your mother is usually the person that you're spending the most amount of time with, or naturally, because you have been in her womb, she is the person that you're more tuned into when you are a small baby. Because that biological connection, energetical connection is there from the very, very, very beginning. So when you were a child, you were supposed to rely on your mother. That was actually part of your inner wisdom. And her job would have been to nourish you, love you, and offer a safe space for you to gently, as you grow, move from relying on her completely to learn to trust your own guidance system. And this inner guidance is naturally developed as you grow up with exploration, experiences, along with the safety, within the safety of the nest that is provided by your parents. So this is the ideal, okay? This is what we would have received if our parents didn't have a lot of baggage that they brought in it when they actually created the family. If they had received that, it goes very back generations and generation, and without going into that now, but that's what we would have received. And ideally, this is a gentle process that happens during, like, over years of growth. Gently, you start making your own experiences. You start walking a little bit further away from your parents that you're at the park, and then a little bit further, and then a little bit further. You still have the safety of the nest, but then you start exploring, experiencing, touching new things, eating new foods, blah, blah, blah. And then you follow your own guidance system. But being a daughter of a narcissistic mother, and this is not how we experienced it. This is not how I experienced it, for sure. And my guess is that if you're here listening to this right now, it's not how you experienced it either. At what stage of your growth you became disconnected from your inner guidance system, that depends on how you were brought up and the experiences you've had. So it's different from everyone. That can happen really very, very early, a baby stage. And it can happen later on. It can happen a little bit at the time. There's no formula. It's not that it happens one way for everyone. So, but that's not the thing. The thing is the result, that ultimately when you are growing up, when you're an adult, you are disconnected from that inner center, from that guidance system that you would follow if you had that ideal way of being brought up, the nest. And it doesn't matter when you have that safety from your parents, from your mother, you could have been going through difficult experiences on the outside of your family. Like, things could have happened to you. That doesn't mean that your childhood is flawless in the ideal situation. But when you have that safety, you have somewhere to fall back onto. You have someone to talk to and to process what's happening. And then everything goes back to being fine. Okay, we are strong beings. We can go through a lot and still be 100% tuned into ourselves. So you growing up, you were probably told things like, don't you get ideas of your own? Do as you're told. You couldn't possibly be hungry right now or tired again. I mean, you just eaten or whatever. If you had asked me first, this would be something that a narcissistic mother could say. If you had asked me first, you would not have hurt yourself. So again, taking that permission away from you of relying on your own system and having to rely on someone else's. Or another one would be, can't you see how bad you make me feel when you act like that? So again, stopping that growth, that capacity to go, I am going to do my own things, and I'm going to try and sample and see what happens if I do this. My system is telling me to try and do this thing. No, you can't. So these are just some examples. And I'm sure you can come up with plenty of different ones. I have plenty more of my own experience. There is no point in going through a crazy big list. But I know that I wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed to do anything, really. And there were so many. And so many rules, but nothing. Like, rules can be good things. I'm not saying the rules are negative, but there were just so many nonsensical rules. Let's put it that way. Like, rules that kept changing. And one day you were allowed to do something, the other day you weren't. And it was very complicated and confusing. So you just, I remember just, I wouldn't do anything. Like, literally, as a kid, oh, she's such a quiet child. She just sits there and does nothing. Yeah, because I'm not knowing what I am actually fine with doing. Or what I'm going to be shouted at if I do. So that is how you get disconnected from that inner guidance system. That inner guidance system actually is telling you, just be put, stay quiet. And then slowly it leaves the fears mechanisms to take over. And as you grow up, even when your mother is not there shouting at you anymore, the pattern remains. So whatever, again, we said that before, something that was useful when you were a child, because it kept you safe and protected from your mother when she was abusing you, it just remains as a pattern that is not useful anymore now. You don't need to do that anymore. You can begin to follow that system inside of yourself. You can begin to get liberated by from that fear, from that hypervigilance, from that system that is always on alert, rather than allowing you to express yourself. So ultimately, a narcissistic mother uses put downs to shame the child until there is a total disconnection from that inner guidance system. She will do anything to make you remain controllable, shaming your every decision, your personality even, boxing you into descriptives. I've had plenty of that, oh my God. And making sure you keep relying on her, because we know that that's the control game. If you don't follow your guidance system, you're going to follow hers. And I know that some of you at this point might say, not me. I'm free from my mother. If she's saying something, I'm doing the opposite. And I get that. I get that. That is one of the possible strategies that we can follow. But are you sure you are truly free? Is doing the opposite of what your mother would want real freedom, or a different kind of cage? It's worth looking at. It's worth feeling into. Because I've seen plenty of that. Plenty of doing the opposite. And it's so boxing. It can be so limiting. So limiting. So let's take a little bit of a closer look at the ways your mother can control you and still control you. So these patterns that you've developed through how you've been brought up by your mother are still controlling you. And there are three main different ways that can happen. One is directly. So despite everything, even despite you knowing that your relationship with your mother is complicated, that you're feeling bad every time you're interacting with her, that she puts you down, she shames you, she makes you feel like crap. Despite everything, you still outright rely on your mother. You consult her for big and small decisions. You have very little, if known, boundaries when it comes to her maybe barging into your life and telling you how to do things. And most of all, telling you how you're doing it wrong. So that's the direct way. She's still full on controlling and telling you things. There's no boundaries. And you still actively actually go looking for her. When you want to decide something, you go asking. You pick up the phone. You go to your mom. The first issue you have, you go there. Indirectly, instead, is the opposite of what we were saying a minute ago. You completely rebelled. So you're doing your best to go against all that she represents and all that she says. Like if she keeps silly examples, but like very, very common everyday examples. If she keeps her house all tidy, yours is probably a mess. Or the other way around. If she pushed you to have like a career, you might be unemployed and proud of it. You have probably said things like, if I become like my mother, please shoot me. So you just completely want to be the opposite of what your mother is. You want to do the opposite of what she tells you to do, and you just go for that. Can you see how that can be very, very limiting? Because you could be doing things that are similar, but because you are following your own system, but you're not going to allow yourself to do that because you're guided by a pattern. And then there's another way. The third way is more covertly. So you're living your own life. You've managed to set some degree of boundaries. And you feel like you have put some space between yourself and your mother. But you feel anxious about a lot of stuff. And seemingly it's all unrelated to your mother. You beat yourself up every time something goes bad. Or you feel like you made a mistake and that just, like, you know, there's a lot of self-shame. Another way, you strongly judge others and their choices. And remember that when you do that, a lot of the time is because you're strongly judging yourself and your own choices. And another thing you might be doing is you do everything on your own. So if you've done everything on your own, you're the only one that can criticize the result, because like no one has been helping you. So how dare they even making any comment on what you've done? So you have all these patterns going that seem distant and unrelated from your mother, because you have put in some degree of work and you actually have some kind of boundaries. But still, those belief systems, those patterns that were put in as you grew up by your mother are st and developed because of her are still guiding you, are still dictating how you live, are still controlling you. And these three ways, so direct, directly, indirectly, and covertly, they can be looked at separately, or I see them more as phases of the process sometimes. Like you can go from the direct control, obviously, and then go through phases of it as you start setting your boundaries, and then you're gonna have to deal with the layers that are deeper of belief. So you end up a little bit more in the third phase of the covertly one. So, and again, this has nothing to do with judging how you live and how you're doing things, but is to help, is to support reaching a point when you are the master of your own life. You are the person that is in control of your own decisions, of your own life, and that you're doing it from a space that is in complete connection with yourself, with your heart, with your guidance system, with the wisdom that is inside of you. Because that's the only way to really be at one with yourself and be really, really happy ultimately. I personally went from the first, so a more direct kind of control, when I was still relying on my mother for everything, any decision, any choice, everything. I just couldn't do anything without consulting her, to the third, so the more covert type of control. I was living my own life, but I was still being the puppet of an inner critic that was and that had my mother's voice. So, and I actually didn't know it for a long time. So I thought I was making my own decisions. I had a big distance between myself and my mom, like miles away, and still I would operate with that back of the head voice that subtly would make me feel like, what if she was watching you right now? What would she say if she was watching you right now? And it wasn't even that obvious. That is obvious already. You're like, okay, that's clear to spot. Yeah, it's not that obvious. It happens subtly. You don't know that that's what you're thinking, but your actions are following that voice. And I skipped the rebellious phase where the control is indirect, because I was way too scared of my mother to go down that road. Like, really, she. There was no way I was gonna go against what she was saying. Although I've had said a few times things like, if I become like my mother, shoot me, and I'm nothing like her. There's been periods where if people compared me to her, I get really angry. So I suppose there you go. More awareness coming on here live with you. Now, without talking directly with each of you, I can't tell you exactly how this is playing out for you. As in, if you're more controlled by one of these three specifically, or a mix of all three, it's for you to feel into. Remember, nothing is ever black and white. It's probably gonna be a mix of things. Always, when we make lists with numbers and bullet points, is mainly to simplify things and to understand them in an easier way, but is usually what's going on really. It's a mix of the different things. And again, if we were working one-on-one, or if we were in our women's circles, we would be able to go a little bit deeper into the specific of each individual situation. But what I can tell you here is that until your inner critic has your mother's voice, you are never truly free. And that's a hard pill to swallow, it was for me, realizing how, despite freedom, wanting to be free was my deepest wish for the best part of my life, I never was. That voice was always there. And following my inner guidance system was the scariest, still is. Don't get me wrong, I haven't got all sorted. Like, I still catch it. I can still feel moments where it's like she was in the room and she'd be ready to give out to me or put me down when I'm about to do something. It happens before every episode. You know, when I'm sitting down here to record this episode, I have to center myself first, because the freedom of just speaking from my own system, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So I'm not suggesting that until you're that you're not gonna feel it anymore, that it's gonna be completely gone. Well, I really hope. I do feel it less. That's one thing I can tell you. I do feel it less and less. There are way more situations where I'm just making my own decisions and doing things, and I don't get that pang of anxiety. I don't get that handbrake pulled up anymore, and I don't have to swim against the current that much anymore. But there are times that still comes up, okay? And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person if that happens. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. You're not faulty. It's just part of the process, and that's what you've been through. And be kind to yourself and bring awareness to it. That's all you can do. Bring an awareness to it. So how do you know which voice are you following? Let's have a little bit of a look now at how we can differentiate. Because as we said, that's the tricky part. First of all, okay, the first step is to start recognizing that voice that is not your own. The one that is in fact your mother's, either directly or indirectly or covertly, but that is not your own. And that voice, the one that is not your own, usually does one of two things. It either blames others or situations outside of yourself, leaving you powerless, okay? Or shames yourself, making you feel small, wrong, and faulty. I'm going to say that again, because this is really key. Like this, you get this point here, you're actually more than halfway in the recognizing process, okay? The voice that is not yours, your inner guidance would never shame and blame. Never. Okay? So if the voice in your head blames others or situations outside of yourself, leaving you powerless, or shames yourself, making you feel small, wrong, and faulty, well, then you're not following your inner guidance system. Are you familiar with that? That voice that just wants to blame, point the finger and say that, oh, you could have done it differently, but look at all those people and what they're doing. I mean, they're stopping you from doing what you want to do. Or yeah, this could be your family, this could be your children, this could be your workmates, your boss, the traffic, it doesn't matter what it is, the government even, anything outside of yourself that you're blaming that is stopping you from doing what you want to do or taking those actions or feeling relaxed simply in your space. That's one. And the feeling that comes with that is always of being powerless, because you're up against a heap of stuff that you cannot control, which is a whole bunch of other people or other outer circumstances that, because they're outside of yourself, they're outside of your control. And so that's the recipe for being powerless, giving out about stuff that you cannot control, rather than working with what's within, which is what you can control. And then the other one, shaming yourself. So when you shame yourself, when you put yourself down, you're repeating the pattern of the put downs that your mother would would use in some way or another. Maybe as we said before, you're doing it indirectly. You don't even know you're doing it, but that's what's happening. And the feeling that comes out of that is feeling really small, feeling wrong and feeling faulty, feeling like inadequate, feeling not enough. I certainly am familiar with both of those. I've spent so much of my life judging a whole bunch of other people for what they were doing and how they were stopping me from doing what I wanted. And I have shamed myself to crazy levels. So I really know how that feels. And as we said, when we blame others, so when we're pointing the fingers outside of ourselves, it's actually a way to avoid a feeling of inner shame that is inside. So the two things, again, you can view them as separate, but as always, they're interlinked together. So even when you are in that blaming place, you're still shaming yourself or trying to hide from the fact that you would shame yourself if you didn't concentrate on others. It would go back on you, and the feeling of shame is too much. So that's key to start recognizing and learning to recognize these patterns inside of yourself is a process. It's gonna have different layers, and it's gonna require time and support, because you need a safe space to be allowed to explore and feel and go through all of these layers while being free of judgment. That's really necessary, because already we do a plenty of self-judging and beating ourselves up, and as we said, shaming ourselves. So if we are among other people that without awareness are judging us, or we feel we are being judged, then it's impossible to really go through this process, beginning to learn and understand what's going on and recognize and bring awareness. So really fundamental is to have someone, that one person, if it's your mentor, coach, someone, or a group. That's why we work one-on-one here, or we work with a women's circle, because creating a safe container, it's really, really important. And always, always, always remember the golden rule of being very kind to yourself. Really, really, really. I am never going to say that enough. We've had plenty of being unkind to ourselves. So it's time to start being super kind with ourselves. So the next step, once you've learned to recognize these patterns, you can start what I playfully call the game of awareness. So you might become aware of what's going on within yourself, sometimes after days of being sucked into an old pattern, or within seconds. And this is not like there isn't a prize here. This is not better or worse. I still sometimes in some situation catching within seconds, and in some situations it can take me weeks. So it's, again, let's not judge it. It's more the thing that as you bring awareness, what I can say is that it's going to get quicker. So there's going to be less of the patterns that you get sucked into for a long time, and there's going to be more of catching it really, really quick. And you can be playful with yourself, like really make a game of it. I make a game of it with my partner, see how quickly can I catch it, and if I don't, he supports me in catching that. So maybe you have that capacity with your partner, or again, you need support on the outside, and that's okay. And always keep in mind that being aware of a pattern, of what's happening, and judging yourself are two very different things, okay? Being aware means realizing what chain reaction you're following, what rabbit hole you're going into. Take a breath, pause, reset. Maybe sit with it to feel into it a little bit. Sometimes that's valid too. Go for a walk, go hug a tree. There are several ways to go about it when you catch it. And this is what we actually go in depth when we are doing our women's circles. We practice the different ways that we can go about it. Judging yourself, on the other hand, brings you back to that inner shame feeling. Okay? So, no biggie if that happens, because that can happen. You're like, oh, okay, you see, this is what I'm doing again. Ah, and you beat yourself up. Catch it. Again, you're going back to the game of catching it and the game of awareness. Smile to yourself, like give yourself a hug and tell that part of you that is bringing up the shaming that there's no need for that anymore. It's okay, you know, like you can literally talk to that part of yourself, like really lovingly. That's why you learn to gently mother yourself. That's what your mother was supposed to be doing. You know, when you were having an experience and or you tried something and it didn't go how you wanted, just like, you know, it's okay. And it doesn't matter. You can try again. And there's no need for that right now. You're all right. You're not doing anything wrong. That's just the way it's gone. It's fine. Okay, so that's what you start doing for yourself. And I know that that's easier said than done. True, but the more you practice, the easier it gets. I promise. And again, having someone safe who can hold space for you as you practice, it's an amazing support and something I strongly advise. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be here now, for sure. Then, number three, so the third phase. From here, so you start being aware of the shaming and the blaming. You understand that those are the patterns, and you start understanding how they're playing out in different situations, because they're going to have different flavors. That's the first phase. And then you start practicing the awareness, so to catch it. And then from here, you can start opening to receive your true inner guidance. You don't have to do anything to access that, really. You just have to make some space within yourself and receive it. Because that flows in naturally. That would be the way it would naturally go. So once it's like a river flows in one natural direction, and if you block it with a dam, you can block its course. You can put something that just make it go a different way, different direction. But once you remove the block, once you remove the dam, the river just goes back to its natural way of flowing down. So that's the same. Our inner guidance will flow in naturally. You won't have to do anything actively. Just open up, but open up to receive, okay? The inner guidance, the spark of life within you, the wise woman who truly knows what's best for you. There's only one wise woman that knows what's best for you, and it's your inner guidance. It's that part in you, that inner self that knows, okay? And it's also that nurturing, loving, no bullshit presence in your heart. And in your guts, and in your cells, and in your entire being, okay? Her, that's the one, okay? And she's strong. She doesn't need to blame or to shame. She knows she's grounded, but she needs quiet to emerge. So that voice of fear, of anxiety, of frustration, of death, has to be quiet to be able to receive that inner guidance. Okay, she needs the space. And as I said, your inner guidance is there. Okay, and gently, by creating a safe space for her, you can let her in and receive her wisdom. And sometimes she's fierce and she might raise her voice. And she can be wild, she can be warrior-like, she can be soft and loving. She has many aspects, and she's within you, she is you. You have many aspects. You have the wild woman in you, you have the warrior woman in you, you have the nurturing mother in you. You have them all. You can semesters. It's like I still remember my teacher once showing us a multifaceted diamond shape. It wasn't obviously a diamond, it was like made of some other kind of material, but it was representing a multifaceted big diamond, and it had so many aspects to it, so many faces, and you couldn't see them all at once. And she used to say, that's what a woman is. We have all of those aspects, and they're all within. And our inner guidance is like that. It has all of them, and we can access all of these different energies depending on what we're going through in life. And that's wonderful. It's so empowering when you start accessing that part of you. It's really, really empowering, and it's really liberating. It feels exciting. It feels, ooh, it feels great. And there's nothing more nourishing than living your life following your inner wisdom, following your compass. The one that no one can say anything about, because you are the only one who knows. When you're tapped into that, you actually couldn't care less about what other people are saying. The put downs don't reach you anymore. They don't. Or not as much. Again, it's a process, but I can, like, there's so many situations where I would have been so worried about what other people would have thought and said. And that really, it's not even that I did something not to care about that, but just tapping into my own system, grounding myself into my who I really am, and breaking the patterns from childhood, from my mother's abuse and stuff. I just don't care anymore what other people think. And it has happened naturally because I know what I'm feeling inside and what feels right for me. And so I can also honor what feels right for others. And it becomes really, really safe too. You can make relationships really, really safe that way. And when other people are not so safe and they still want to impose, well, then it becomes like a thing of boundaries. It's like, yeah, I can hear you on that, but that doesn't work for me. Thank you very much. And you move on. And this is the path to reclaiming your full sovereignty, to reclaim your own fullness as a woman. And I know it is a process. Again, so as I said, be kind to yourself as you go through the different layers. And there's no limit to the depths you can discover in yourself. So it doesn't have an end point. We don't have an arriving end point that once we get there, then that's it done. And it becomes such a wonderful, amazing exploration that you don't want to get to an end point, believe me. Like, you want to keep going. It's like, I mean, the ocean is so vast. There's so many corners, so many places, so many hidden caves, so many landscapes to explore, that why would you stop? Why would you stop? And I promise you, it's so worth it. I know that there's work to be done. I know that there's parts of the process that look really and that don't feel very good, but it's worth it. And if you're wondering where to start, well, for me personally, it was my own practice with myself, guided by wonderful teachers along the way. So that's why I placed on the website the free practice, the self-love practice, because that's a great point to begin when you can be with yourself and within with the guidance. It's a little bit harder to do it all on your own, and it's not necessary really. When you have guidance, you can open up a little bit more. And that practice that I have on the website offers you a gentle yet super potent way to take your first step to unlocking your inner wisdom. So there's always a link in the description of every episode. You can go in, access the free practice, and do it as much as it feels right to you. And always, because every woman deserves to live a life where she feels safe, loved, and alive. And I'm gonna leave you with that, and with lots of love. And bye for now.